Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I forgot to put it in. So I'll tell you what you do. You wait right there. I'll come back and fix it. Because I know where to go to find it. It gives you a chance now to answer the question, because you've had a chance to look at the picture. Who's the guy up here? You recognize him? Arnold Palmer. It's not an easy thing to say. Arnold Palmer, Arnie's Army. My dad was part of Arnie's Army. I really enjoyed watching him. Well, he tells a story on himself. Arnie does. He says, it was the final hole of the 1961 Masters Tournament, and I had a one-stroke lead and had just hit a very satisfying tee shot. I felt I was in pretty good shape. As I approached my ball, I saw an old friend standing at the edge of the gallery. He motioned me over, stuck out his hand, and said, congratulations. I took his hand and shook it, but as soon as I did, I knew I had lost my focus. You can look up what happened to Arnie in the 61 Masters. But let me ask you the more important question. Have you ever, like Arnold Palmer, lost your focus or your concentration? Now, I know when sitting down to do Bible study, for instance, it's easy for other things to interfere and cause us to lose focus. However, think about it this way. You're in good company. Adam, of Adam and Eve fame, also lost focus. And what's more, he tried to distract God and hopefully cause him to lose focus also. If you look at the Old Testament lesson today, we can focus on the first promise God makes. He makes a promise of his payment to overcome the disobedience of man, to overcome the penalty for sin. Look at verse 15. The last half says, he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now, these words of God are understood to be the place that God promises that Satan would be crushed, that he would ultimately be defeated. In fact, this promise sealed Satan's fate. And he was, from then on, working or operating from a position of defeat or of reaction. He knew that God's Savior would crush him at the appointed time, though he had no idea of that time. He only knew the Word of God that he would be crushed. Satan could no longer take the initiative because he knew God never lied. He was trapped from then on. He had used the one bullet in his gun, and now he could only hide, work from the shadows, and use darkness as an ally. He could only dissemble and obfuscate, confuse, malign, and try to distract people from their focus on God. And this promise from God of Satan defeat, of Satan's defeat by God's chosen Savior, that is, for us, a very good thing to focus on. From the first day of sin, there is also the first promise that God had a plan in place to completely overcome the consequences of sin. In the daily circumstances of our lives, we benefit when we keep our eyes fixed on the promises of God, especially when we fix our focus on his promises to overcome the tricks and lies of the devil. Those lies and tricks are all around us every day, and we easily fall into them. I was on vacation one time, and I remember thinking at one point, it's nice to be on vacation and not have to worry so much about how much I sin. I actually thought that. And then it struck me, what a lie that is. What a lie that is. How could I even think such a thing? And then it occurred to me that, of course, while I was on vacation, sin in me was not. Sin never takes a vacation. The desire to deny God's proper place in my life never lets up. It simply never goes on a holiday. The lies of the devil are all around us all the time. And we're easy victims. We're easy victims because we want to have a way to excuse, in our own eyes, our bad behavior, our sin. We delude ourselves into thinking that we can excuse our sin by ourselves. So we also think that maybe God won't see it. Again, look at the reading from Genesis today to see how easily we like to excuse our failings. When God asked Adam the simple question, "Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" What was the man's answer? Read that for me, please. Now, I'm going to repeat it again. But this is how, in my own mind, it may have sounded coming from Adam's mouth. The woman whom you gave to me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate. Adam didn't really answer God's question in an honest way, did he? He threw Eve under the bus. Adam focused not on being honest with God, but on trying to make himself look good to God. Of the many sins that day in the garden, here was a huge one. Adam lied to God. Adam lied to God. Adam tried to divert God's focus away from him having disobeyed God. Now, you might say he told the truth, but he simply didn't answer the question, did he? Adam focused on justifying himself, not on answering God honestly. So God, on the very day that man failed and man sinned, God promised the solution to man's total screw-up. As we said in verse 15 of the Old Testament lesson, God makes a promise that the devil would be defeated by an offspring from Eve. Now, that promise is the first time God made clear that he had the solution to the consequences of man's sin already in place. Now, the question for us today is, do we focus on sin and justifying it to God and to ourselves, or do we focus on the promise of God? Well, I want to move now for a moment to the gospel lesson for another example of why we need to keep our focus on God and his promise of forgiveness. I'd like us to read together out loud verses 28 and 29 of the gospel lesson. And I want you to notice as we read this, I want you to read it out loud. I want you to notice where your focus goes as we read this. So Jesus is speaking. We say together, "Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man." But is guilty of an eternal sin. Now, when this is read, almost without exception, I focus on that part about being guilty of an eternal sin. It's in my nature to want to avoid getting caught doing the wrong thing. So, when there's talk of an eternally wrong thing, I naturally focus on avoiding that. But when I do that, what am I missing? What am I missing? Focusing on that takes me off of what Jesus has said in the first part of that sentence, which was, "Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven, the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter." Now, in speaking these words, Jesus proclaims the fulfillment of God's promise from Genesis today about God's provision for the guilt of my sin. Here Jesus speaks of the antidote for the disease of sin, of my rejection of God, just like Adam did. All the sins of the children of man, Christ says, will be forgiven. Forgiveness happens because God promised it, Christ accomplished it on the cross, and the Holy Spirit delivers it to us through word and sacrament. By the way, regarding that eternal sin, notice verse 30, which says, "For they had said he has an unclean spirit." Sometimes Christians worry that they have committed this unpardonable sin. But Jesus says this because the scribes were attributing the work of Jesus to Satan. They were focused not on Jesus doing the work of God, but of trying to focus the people on turning against Jesus. And so they sought to discredit him in this way. They gave Satan the glory that belonged to God. That's why Jesus said what he said. Luther has said of the unpardonable sin, "Whoever despairs in his sin or relies on good works sins against the Holy Spirit and against grace. It is impossible that God be gracious to them so long as they are given to that sin." So, when God's grace is directly refused, or when one attributes the work of Jesus Christ to Satan, then God's grace is lost to them. Now, you have to never forget that repentance calls us not only to contrition or sorrow for our sin, but to trust in the work of Christ alone for our forgiveness. As we focus on Jesus' blood from the cross as being the plan of God to redeem us and to overcome sin and death and the devil, even from Genesis 3, as we focus on that cross, we will not, we cannot sin against the Holy Spirit. Now again, the cross, that's where our focus is to be, the cross of Jesus. Then we can live our lives daily in repentance, relying on God's promises and not on our effort, not on our merit. Such a focus on the cross, though, doesn't give us immunity from earthly problems. But the cross is the cure for our problem of the guilt of our sin. That's the cure that God promised in Genesis on the day man sinned. To focus on the promise of God fulfilled in the cross of Christ. When you focus on that, it is radically life-changing. Before we close, I want to tell you a story. It took place many, many years ago about how life-changing it is to remain focused on the cross of Christ. There was a time when all people lived under rulers such as princes and kings and emperors. To go against the emperor was to forfeit your life. Well, there was a group of princes who one day stood before their emperor, and they defied his orders. They would not do as he told them to 488 years ago this month in the town of Augsburg. And he told them to return to the Roman Catholic Church. In fact, though he wanted them to turn aside from the teaching they were following, they refused and instead literally offered up their necks to be cut off rather than give in and do what the emperor wanted them to. The emperor, of course, was Charles V, and the princes were the Lutheran princes whose eyes and hearts had been given the grace to focus on the cross of Christ alone as the source of their forgiveness. These were former Roman Catholics who had come to understand through the plain words of Scripture that God had kept his promise of forgiveness. They had had their focus shifted from the deceit that they could earn forgiveness for themselves by good works, and instead had learned through true repentance to focus on the cross of Christ for their forgiveness. They had grown in their faith to the point that, again, literally they risked their necks for the sake of the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, we take away from that story the idea that a person focused on growing in faithfulness to the cross of Christ can grow beyond a childish faith. Now, Jesus tells us we are to have a childlike faith, but not a childish faith. Childish faith says, oh goody, I'm safe. I've got fire insurance. Now I can go out and play and ignore what others need since I'm okay. That's not maintaining a focus on the cross of Christ. It's only focusing on forgiveness for me alone. If those princes in 1530 had done that, we wouldn't be here today, free as we are to focus on the cross of Christ. Let's also not be like Arnold Palmer and lose our focus with a simple handshake. In our case, a handshake with the devil. Rather, let's follow the example of the princes who put their lives on the line for the cross of Christ. We can only grow in that direction as we spend time focusing on the cross, keeping the cross of Christ in mind as we go through our daily tasks. As we do that, it gives us an awareness that life in Christ is greater than any circumstances that we find ourselves in. That life, when focused on the cross, is lived, as Jesus said today, in the freedom of God's promised forgiveness. Under the cross of Jesus, and in his name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth and meditation